Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to Be Radiant Radio. You are made of light and you are made to shine. Positive, uplifting, and helpful. Welcome to the show where you'll get informational and inspirational ideas on how to unleash your potential, get what you want in life, and shine like you're meant to. Hi, I'm Angela Loeb, and welcome to Be Radiant Radio. Today it's all about the power of choice and handling disappointment. A friend and I were having lunch the other day, and we were talking about handling disappointments in life and in our careers. And our conversation made me realize that I don't really think about how it is that I handle disappointment. I just handle it. And one part of that must have to do with the fact that I'm definitely better at managing expectations so that I'm not disappointed in the first place. But I also know that when I do get disappointed, which still happens sometimes, I just don't hang on to disappointment very long, not anymore. When I think back many years ago, like say 10 years ago, 15 years ago, I wasn't so good at it then. I can see that I handle it much better now than I used to handle disappointment. And when I was talking with my friend, it occurred to me that I really take it for granted that I'm better at it now. And by the way, the reason why I take it for granted, it's because it's become second nature. It's because I've chosen thoughts consciously and continuously over time using mind mastery techniques or mind training techniques. Some of those techniques were recommended to me in more recent years by my colleague and friend Tom Cassidy. He recommends things like the script, the QMR, and the 13x4 system. We made videos talking about it, actually. But long before those tools, those techniques, I had already been using the shift, which I talked about in my last episode of Be Radiant Radio. And going back even further than the shift, I started using positive affirmations as one technique. And I started applying the concepts in Miguel Ruiz's book, The Four Agreements, which I've talked about in the past as well. So I've gotten really good at deliberately paying attention and actively choosing different thoughts and actions, different behaviors. Doing that over and over again, you know, that changes the brain eventually. The more you think and do something, your brain, to be specific, the neural net and network in your brain, it rewires in a certain way. So you know how to do something over time. If you keep doing it over and over again, you know how to do something, but you forget how you know how to do it. It just becomes your new way of being. It becomes second nature. And of course, you can make this happen by consciously choosing to do it, but it can also come about when external circumstances pretty much force you to adapt the way you're thinking and the way you're behaving. That can happen as well. For example, my sister, she has a rare neurological disorder. It's called CIDP. I'm not even going to try to pronounce what CIDP stands for. Trust me, I'll make a mess of it. But the cause is unknown. The cure is unknown. It can only be managed with medication, sort of managed, that is. She contracted it while her immune system was being severely compromised. She was taking low-dose radiation therapy for a tumor. But I won't go into all the details about her health issues and her history about that because, you know, CIDP isn't the only thing she deals with. But CIDP, it causes physical weakness when it's on its best behavior. But if you leave it unmanaged, it causes paralysis. And it's especially dangerous because it can cause a loss of control of muscles that control breathing and swallowing. At least that was a danger for her until they diagnosed it and understood how they could help control it. It's definitely impaired her motor functions, her ability to use her arms, hands, and legs and feet. My sister, she has the strongest willpower of anyone I've ever known. She is the most emotionally resilient person I have ever come across. She was in a wheelchair at first when she first got the disease, and now she walks. So she is a literal walking miracle. She adapted to the wheelchair when she first got it, but it wasn't enough mobility for what she wanted to do. She wanted to get more done around her house, you know, so because she was really quite, she's very independent. And so she started crawling on the floor to get around. And that started helping her. That started creating more muscular control. She used to be an athlete. She was a cross-country runner in high school, and she went on to college with an athletic scholarship. And in fact, one of her high school classmates, who I'm on Facebook with, last year reached out to me and said that even though it's been more than 30 years now, my sister still holds the AAA state high school record in the 3,200 meter. So, yeah, she is very determined, was always determined. Anyway, my sister, the former athlete, she decided she wanted to swim. So, and the idea of being weightless in the water or more weightless in the water was like so appealing to her. So that was her next goal. And it turns out that swimming was awesome. It increased the motor skills in her legs even more. So that turned out to have a great effect. CIDP also affects the arms and hands, like I mentioned. And she wanted to make jewelry and paint. She's always been very creative. So beading jewelry and painting has led to increased fine motor skills in her hands. So she was able to train her hands to have more control. And, well, of course, it's also led to some beautiful jewelry that she sometimes sends me and I get to wear. And art, of course. Now, this is one of the cooler things. A friend gave her a Native American flute, and she decided that she was going to teach herself to play. And it turns out that it helped her increase the motor functions in the small muscles in her face and her neck, and that helps to ward off the facial nerve palsy that she's been experiencing off and on because of the disease. She's super good at the flute, too. She's even performed publicly, and she's made a CD recording. So, of course, I'm a proud sister, but I'm just super impressed, and she's just a perfect example of the kind of adaptability that scientists call neuroplasticity is how it's pronounced. And it's the ability of the brain to form and reorganize the synaptic connections, especially in response to when you are learning something new or an experience following an injury, and in her case, this disease. So her neuroplasticity is so good that she often fools neurologists who see her as a new patient. They doubt she has the disease. They check her reflexes, and she actually has some reflexes, so they don't believe that she has it until they, of course, see the proteins in her spinal fluid, and then they know that she has it. So you get my point, right? Whether you're consciously desiring to change your way of being, like I've practiced for many years, or whether you're adapting to your circumstances like my sister has, the more you think and the more you do something in a certain way, the more it becomes your new way of being. It changes the situation and how you can handle disappointment. And I bring up my sister's hardships not only to illustrate how she's dealt with her physical disappointments, but also because she's had to handle career disappointment along the way. She was in nursing school when she got CIDP. And she managed to graduate, but she ended up not being able to go on with her career plans. And it wasn't just the mobility and the weakness challenges. Her immune system is just too fragile to risk the exposure to be working in a healthcare environment like that. On the other hand, her medical knowledge has really helped her. It served her well. So she gets to advocate for herself. She gets to explain her condition. She gets to do things with her body and pushing herself in ways that no one has advised her to do because she has some medical knowledge. And so she's using it. It's serving her. It's just not in the way that she had thought it would. Anyway, I'd say my sister knows a thing or two about handling disappointment, wouldn't you? I have observed this. She uses strong will. She has a strong willpower and really strong determination and problem-solving skills. So that helps her handle disappointment. And she just does whatever is in her power to make the best of her circumstances and just doesn't give up. That girl does not know the meaning of the word quit. So if you talk to her, she might acknowledge the inner strength that I'm mentioning here as a factor. I know she would definitely say that her ability to handle disappointment and keep moving forward is due to her spiritual beliefs and a strong faith that she has in a higher power. This is really important to her. But as I've mentioned in past episodes, I've been fascinated with human behavior, emotional resilience, attitude, self-development and self-actualization. I've been interested in this since I was a kid. So I've studied it a lot. I've personally changed my own way of being through using various awareness tools and techniques. I've observed friends and family members and handling disappointments in the way they have. I've supported clients dealing with career disappointments, a lot of them with job loss or disappointment around the fact that they really loved a job and then lost the job. And of course, my sister, she's shown me a great deal about how to handle disappointments too. And what I've come to know over time is that anytime you go through something challenging in life and you experience disappointment, it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to exercise the power of choice. You can choose to see that you have complete control over your response to your circumstances, or you can choose to think of yourself as a victim, remaining stuck in the point of view that life is just happening to you and that you're powerless. Victim of circumstances or powerful being with the ability to choose a new approach? What do you choose? In a book I like to quote a lot, The Magic of Thinking Big, the author, Dr. Schwartz, he suggests that we, quote, prepare to take detours and strive. And he rightly points out that, quote, if you're driving down a road and you come to a road closed situation, you wouldn't camp there, nor would you go back home. The road closed simply means that you can't go where you want to go on this road. You simply find another road to take you where you want to go, close quote. I love that. That's just truth right there. Now, for me, like I said earlier, it's easier to handle disappointment by not letting things get to be disappointing in the first place. I do my best just to let them be what they're going to be, and I call this managing expectations. But, you know, I've learned the hard way that if I attach too much importance to something being successful or something and defining its success, I'll end up attaching too much importance to that thing's failure if it doesn't reach that definition of success. So, but if I don't call it success or failure in the first place and just let it live the way it's meant to live, be the best it can be without judgment, then that's what I mean about managing expectations. I've come to feel more and more, by the way, this way about people too. They don't disappoint me as much as they used to because I'm just doing better at just not taking the way they behave so seriously and so personally. And that's been thank you to Ruiz and the Four Agreements. Winston Churchill, he pointed out the wisdom of being detached from success and failure. And I love that he suggested that we make it more about courage and looking ahead instead. He said, quote, success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts, close quote. I really like that. Ultimately, handling disappointments well is about choice. Choosing to detach from the outcome of success, choosing to adapt rather than having a victim mindset, choosing to look ahead, whatever you choose. I mean, the point is you're choosing. First, you choose to handle disappointment rather than be overwhelmed by it, and then you choose how to handle it. All right, that's all for this episode. As always, you can reach out to me if you'd like. Just use angelaloeb.com to go to my website, and you'll see how. I'd love to hear from you, and I especially love to hear how you handle disappointment. So please reach out. Thanks so much for tuning in, and until next time, keep on shining like you're meant to.